This is the Dean Show. Welcome back to the Dean Show. Special guest, Sheikh Mustafa. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam. I'm excellent. How are you?
Now, you are good. Alhamdulillah. You weren't always in a position where you're at. You're actually educating people, teaching people the purpose of life, inviting people to have a relationship with the one who created creation. But you were actually fighting against it as an atheist. But yes, you were Muslim first. So you were Muslim,
yes,
carrying Bukhari, the books of Bukhari on your back.
Yes.
And then you took a philosophy class. And
destroyed my faith.
The story takes off from there. Let's go back it up now. Let's talk from the beginning a little bit. Give us some highlights, how it all started.
Yes, I mean, I grew up in a Muslim family, you can say. Not very practicing, a little bit more cultural than Muslim. We kind of went for, you know, Friday prayers. Sometimes we fasted in Ramadan, but that's pretty much it. So didn't really have that many Islamic teachings. Went to Sunday school, didn't pay attention, didn't really understand what was going on there. No one was really interested in that. So I kind of grew up that way. Islam was just something like as part of a culture. We didn't understand what was going on. And then in my junior year of high school, we took a trip to Mecca. And we went for the Umrah, the minor pilgrimage. And that was just seeing a different world for me. That just changed things completely. So there, I go into a bookstore and I'm seeing the Kaaba, I'm seeing, you know, Mecca, the people there, hearing the Adhan, the call to prayer on a regular basis. A
lot of emotions there.
It's like just a different society. Never seen anything like this in my life, you know. And I've traveled a lot. Yeah. And walk into a bookstore and they got actually like, you know, I see Islamic books for the first time in my life. I see translations of hadith, the statements of the Prophet, peace be upon him. I see translations of the Quran. And I was like, you know what, I can investigate this. I can, you know, learn more about this. So I buy a translation of the Quran. I buy a Sahih al-Bukhari, you know, a collection of sayings of the Prophet, peace be upon him, 9 volumes. Carry it back with me on the airplane. I said, you know, I'm going to try to learn about this religion of mine. I'm going to find out if it's the truth or not. So I come back, I start reading, and I start, you know, appreciating Islam. I said, you know, I'm going to find this out, find out on my own, what is Islam, what is this thing that I was raised on supposedly? What is this all supposed to mean? And I start becoming more interested. And I said, you know, this seems like it's the truth. I start comparing what I know about Hinduism. I said, you know, I can't worship a statue, you know, something like that. I heard thinking about Christianity. I can't believe that, you know, like a man is going to be God. Judaism, I don't have the right blood in me, you know. So these things don't work for me. I say Islam is the thing that kind of makes sense, you know. If we're going to believe in God, that's like the religion which I can consider. So I start getting more and more, you know, learning about Islam on my own, reading the Quran, reading these books of hadith, and I start to have like an appreciation for Islam.
Did you have a teacher? Did you have someone giving you some direction?
So that was the issue. So I did not have a teacher. And one of the reasons why I didn't have a teacher is, you know, everyone I had met, they seemed to be very more cultural than Islamic or Muslim. So I don't know who to go to for knowledge. I go to the mosque, I hear the sermon. It seems like very emotional, person has a very thick accent. I'm really not interested in this. I'm going to figure this all out all on my own.
No direction.
I'm going to read the text. Whatever I think the text means, doesn't matter what they're saying in the book, that's what the way I'm going to take it.
How about from family? How much direction did you get from Papa and Mama?
See, the thing is, you know, they may say a few things here and there, but it's all mixed with Islam and culture mixed.
A lot of culture.
And I'm not into culture. Because for me, it's like, you know, if I don't understand why this is happening, I don't want to follow something blindly.
How was your basic understanding of, let's say, the pure monotheism Islam, the Tawheed, the fundamental belief system? How was that?
You know, I probably understood that there's one God. That was pretty clear. But anything beyond that,
God's attributes and
you know, even the idea of, you know, belief in angels and things which are unseen.
So the fundamental, the core was not there.
Not really there. Okay. Not really there. So I'm reading these books and I'm getting interested. I'm learning more and I'm thinking, hey, this seems to make sense. I start questioning a lot of things. So I said, you know what, let me start praying. Because I know we should pray. But it doesn't make sense to pray in Arabic because I don't even know what I'm saying. You know, and even if I read what I'm saying, the translation, I tried doing Arabic and then translating in English. I'm like, this is distracting me. Let me just start praying in English. So I just started praying in English.
Seems like it's not a bad idea.
It seems like a good idea.
Okay, according to your logic.
Yeah, at least, you know, for me, maybe it was a little bit arrogant at the time, but at least I understand what I'm saying. And all the people around me, maybe my parents, my friends, family, they're saying all these formulas, but they don't even know what they're saying, right? Mm-hmm. Many of them don't even bother to read the translation. So I feel like, hey, at least I'm connecting with God on a deeper level because I know what I'm saying. So I'm doing this. I'm praying in English. I'm kind of praying while I'm driving. If I'm getting late somewhere, hey, you know, it's better than, you know, God should accept for me. At least I'm doing better than what I was doing before. So I'm kind of, you know, feeling good about this, kind of having some, you know, positive, healthy pride in Islam. Start discussing, debating with my friends. Come on, you guys got to believe in God. Look at the Quran. This is, you know, this is a miracle. Start getting very, very happy about, you know, being a Muslim. And that's when, you know, I started, you know, almost got to a point where I saw some things within hadith that I was reading. And I said, you know what? Some of these hadith seem just very strange. They don't seem to make sense to me. They don't seem to be as like rational as I was seeing in the Quran. So I got to a point where I came across a website called like the Submitters or something like that. They basically said, we don't need to accept these hadith. Hadith has all this weird stuff going on. Just remove this hadith, just go with the Quran only. So I basically got into that movement or that group, you know, intellectually online. And I just said, you know, let's just focus on the Quran. Some hadith are nice, but some are weird. So I don't understand them really. I'm just going to stick to the Quran. What happened was, I go to college, get accepted to UC Irvine, decide to take a class on philosophy. Walk into that class on philosophy, and the professor starts talking about, you know, how people believe in so many strange things today. You know, you guys grew up believing in the tooth fairy, you grew up believing in Santa Claus, your parents had tricked you about these things. And I'm like, yeah, that's true, man. My parents, you know, I remember the tooth fairy. I was, you know, tricked into believing in the Santa Claus for a while, Halloween, all that stuff. And then he said, how many of you still believe in that? And everyone's like, come on, we don't believe in that. And then he threw the bomb and he goes, how many of you still believe in God? And that's where I was just like, you know, do I raise my hand? Do I not raise my hand?
So is anybody raising their hand at this moment?
Nobody raises their hand except one guy who is the weird Christian missionary guy who like everyone hated. He's just like, he seems like mentally deficient or something like that, you know. So something's wrong with this guy. So I raise my hand. I'm like, okay, I believe in God, and just me and him and no one else in the class. And I just, that was just like a moment for me. I'm like, am I like this guy? Am I the only one? Like, what's
the pressure's on now?
Really, the pressure is on.
You're sweating.
Really, I'm thinking, what have I been raised on? You know, I thought that everyone believes in God, and I grew up believing like this, and that just questioned my faith, and it just changed my entire perception, and everything just went downhill from there. I became super skeptical, and I got to a point from agnosticism, not knowing if there's God, to basically sliding down into atheism and saying, you know what, God doesn't exist. All this religion is man-made. It's all, you know, it's all just hodgepodge. It's something of the past. We need to get away from it.
We got a Muslim who left Islam, and this is a very sad situation. I'm sure many have been affected by this. You actually went through it. The story doesn't stop there. We got more. When we come back, don't go anywhere. Islam says love all mankind. That's why we're sharing this message, because we want the best for you and we want the best for all mankind. Subscribe right now and enjoy all of the content that we're going to be putting out for you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Back here on the Deen Show, Muslim leaves Islam. I don't see your heads off yet.
Not
did anybody
yet.
come with a machete looking for you?
No, they did not. Okay, actually,
because now a lot of people, they try to use this now that you obviously, how did your family, did they know now that you had turned away from
you know, I didn't tell them openly, but I told them that, you know what, I'm not interested in praying, I'm not interested in going to the mosque, don't even ask me to go on Friday anymore.
It's obvious now.
It's pretty obvious that this guy is far from the religion,
you know? Yeah. Now what happens? Okay, that's the moment. You go in, well, you're carrying Bukhari, you know, the hadith on your back, but I asked you how was really your core understanding was kind of very weak, didn't have a bright teacher.
Yeah.
You walk into this philosophy class, you come in, you know, to a gunfight with, you know, a pencil.
Yeah.
And what after that? You left the class really just disenfranchised, you're lost now.
Lost.
Your faith is questioned and everything's going out the window.
Yep. And then I started, you know, that's when I kind of, you know, got into a group of friends where I probably wouldn't have considered them when I was Muslim. So I started getting into this group of friends that are telling me, you know, let's go to nightclubs, let's go to raves. Let's just party. Let's have fun.
That seems fun, huh?
It seems fun at the time.
Yeah, dunya opens up now.
That's it. The shackles are coming off, and you know when you're a freshman in college, it's like you're just dying to get out of the confines of your home. Your parents have always been kind of holding you back, saying it's for your own good. Now I'm in the dorms in college. Now I have, some level of freedom. Even though my parents are trying to, spy on me from time to time. Is this guy, is he crazy? Is he doing drugs? What's going on? Yeah. So I start having fun, and I get supposed fun, and I get into the wrong group, start going to these clubs, start going to raves. And kind of strange, like I'm not really believing, but I have like these, I feel like, should I consider praying? Should I not consider praying? There's still some doubts going on. There's doubts about not being Muslim as well, like the way that there were doubts about being Muslim. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of going in down this road, and I get into street racing with the cars, basically. Mm-hmm. So
like Fast and Furious?
Kind of like Fast and Furious, mm-hmm. basically. Inspired by all these movies, inspired by what's going around in my area. So I get with this group and we start street racing, and we just, it's a very dangerous thing. In retrospect, I tell people, you don't realize what you're doing. One mistake, a pedestrian walking down the street, you could just hit someone, kill someone, and you don't even feel it. It's like a video game almost in front of you, So I start street racing, and that's going on for a while. And one day I just get really upset with my parents. I get upset with just everything. I'm upset with life. I'm upset with the world. And I lost a lot of money that my parents had given me in the stock market that day. It was a Friday. The stock market crashes. I lose a ton of money. I'm stressed out. I'm mad at my parents.
Would you say you're kind of a spoiled rich kid?
Kind of a spoiled rich kid. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality. I'm driving a Lexus IS300 the same month that it came out. It was a big deal when it came out. So that's pretty much what's happening. So I'm really upset, and I decide I'm running away from home. I've had it now. I need my absolute freedom. I don't even want to come home on the weekends anymore. I'm out of here. So I get my stuff. I have money in my bank account, so my parents had given me. Everything's ready to go. Jump in the car, run away from home, never coming back again. On my way, I'm driving from Orange County down to San Diego. It's kind of a windy road. All of a sudden, Nissan 300ZX pulls up, twin turbo, tries to race me. And I'm in a bad mood, I'm really upset, listening to rock music, just, fueling more anger. And I decide, that's it, man, I'm gonna race this guy. So we race and we're going really, really fast. And my car spins out of control. Literally does a U-turn on the freeway at a very, very fast speed. We'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. And 4-car accident, 5-car accident, something like that. I don't get injured, the car is totaled, I walk out perfectly fine. People start telling me that, God saved you for a reason. I'm like, yeah, God, whatever, So I started thinking about it in the back of my mind, and then when the police came to me and said, you're going to jail, that's when I started just freaking out. All my pleasures are going to be gone, all my enjoyment, all my fun, it's all going to be done. What do I do? So I start thinking, maybe it's time to make some change in my life. Maybe I need to take life a little bit more seriously. So my friends come back to me, it's like, come on, let's go, let's just go to the rave, man. Just come back, don't worry. Don't let one car accident, get you down. We're gonna go back into the same lifestyle that we had.
You can always count on those good friends, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, So there's that whispering coming, they're trying to come to my room and everything. And I just decided, I don't want to see you guys. I just need to figure things out for myself, what's going on. And that's when I decided, after a while of struggling, I said, there's no one else to turn to. So when you have no one else to turn to and you don't even know what to do, that's when I started praying. And I said, God, I don't know if you exist. I don't even know if I really believe in you or not. But if you exist, show me that you exist and show me why I'm here. If there's a purpose in life, show me that purpose. And before, I had asked that probably before, but I never put any effort into it. So this time, what was different is, there's more sincerity because I'm saying, and I'm going to put the effort in to find you. So I'm going to search. I don't know where to search. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to put in my effort. You send me something. You throw me a little something so I can, I can find you. So that's when I started saying, I don't want to do this. I'm not playing anymore. I'm going to be serious about life until I try to figure this out. I start going to the library. I start reading books on philosophy to overcome some of the things that I learned in philosophy class and reading books on Islam, reading books on Christianity. So I started reading different religions, reading more in detail about Islam, reading about philosophy. And reading all that kind of, you know, helped me start to address some of the questions that I used to have, but I never got good answers
to. But how is your heart at this moment? It's different than it was before because you have a desire to want to know.
Yes.
Instead of covering the truth.
Exactly.
You're open.
I'm open now. And now I'm focusing because, you know what? It's not about the worldly pleasures anymore. Now it's not about, you know what? I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, I'll read one line. Or if that doesn't make sense, I'm just going to go to a rave and just, you know, just get rid of it.
Yeah.
That's the difference, you know? So now the difference is I'm not going to waste my time. I'm going to give as much as I can in my life to focus on what needs to get done.
And you had read some of the top atheist books.
Yes.
You were kind of, well, where was your atheist now? I mean, seemed like it was abandoning you. Was it?
Yeah. I mean, so what had happened, I had bought a book about, you know, critiques of God, the strongest arguments against God. And long time ago, I had bought it and I'm like, yeah, I can respond to all this. So I'm like, okay, let me go. When I was still a Muslim, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to show them that all this is wrong. And when I was reading it, oh man, this sounds very intellectual and very rational. I go to the mosque for Friday prayer. The guy seems very emotional. He seems to be getting upset. I said, yeah, this seems like I don't have any response to it, right? Now I still got that book on my shelf, but now I'm not just comparing these things for 10 minutes and then going and having fun. Now I'm going to sit all day with this book and I'm going to go all day and I'm going to look at what Islam says. If there's any answers about it, I'm really going to sit there and reflect. I'm going to, you know, keep on asking God for guidance. And that makes a world of difference. When you put some real effort into it and you have real like sincerity and desire to actually invest time and effort into it, that's, I think, what really, really, you know, helped me. And that's how God helped me.
Was that the innate nature? You know about that Oxford study with the 52 plus, the anthropology department in Oxford, they did a study saying that that belief is innate
within people.
Was it coming out now? Was the God hotspot in your brain? Was that now coming out in from your heart, from your consciousness?
Exactly. What happens, it was covered up. And it gets covered up by our desires, by our pleasures and just running after these things. Now that I'm like, you know what? This is not my number one priority in life. I'm not going to run after just going eating in fancy restaurants and just going to go do and have fun and all that. Now some of these layers start coming off and say, I'm willing to be open now. Now I'm really going to go and analyze and that natural disposition starts coming back.
This is really, really interesting. They've actually done documentaries of Muslims, supposed Muslims who are leaving Islam and they're kind of in the same struggles. So I'm sure, you know, those who are sincere, they also can truly benefit because you were there and now the story's not over. We got more to share here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere. Islam says love all mankind. That's why we're sharing this message, because we want the best for you and we want the best for all mankind.
This is The Dean Show.
Subscribe right now and enjoy all of the content that we're going to be putting out for you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Back here on The Dean Show with Mustafa, Sheikh Mustafa. Now, do we see this happening more and more, that because you're born in a family, you don't have that proper direction, good examples, from your family teaching you properly, and you don't have that guidance from a young age, and now you end up kind of drifting off, the whole world opens up, you can start going to the raves, to the nightclubs, culture, a lot of culture, strange things associated with Islam that have nothing to do with Islam, and now you have people leaving, right?
It's very common. Uh-huh. It's very, very common, and I encounter it, you know, on a regular basis.
On a regular basis.
So like, you know, it's not that I'm alone. Almost everywhere I go, I see people who, literally, that's exactly how I was. And I see them asking the same kind of questions. And some of them are interested in having a further discussion, and others, they just go away from it. So, you know, I can see them going down the same path. And I don't know if someone had asked me back in the day that, you know what, hey, why don't you have a conversation or something like that? I might have ran away as well. So I don't know what would happen to me. So I can relate to people, and I can almost see exactly what they're going through. I'm not the only one who went through this.
Mm-hmm. But now you came back, not just an average Muslim. I mean, you're actually an imam at a masjid,
yes.
Spiritual leader.
Yes.
You run the College of Islamic Studies.
Yes.
I mean, how can someone, before they get in a train wreck, car wreck, maybe die at an after party,
yeah.
Who knows? Because death is a reality and come at any time.
Absolutely.
Before they go through all this drama now, maybe end up nowhere. You actually, you ended up somewhere, you know, figuring out the purpose of life, why you've been created, you know, on a path of goodness. How can someone, let's derive some good from this story now, so people don't make the same mistake. They can avoid all those, you know, pitfalls.
Yeah, I mean, I tell people, you know, when I tell them my story, you know, I don't share it that often, but when I tell them my story, they almost some people come up to me and they say, you know, I wish I had a similar story so that I could change. I say, no. This you don't want this story. You don't want a near-death experience. You don't, because you might actually die before you change. And you don't need to have an experience like this. You don't need to get into a car accident to change. This is a way, you know, some people, they have this and they don't change. Many people go through something similar and they just go right back into the same life that they went into. So there's no guarantee, and you don't need this type of experience to change. If you have a willingness, you have a sincerity, you have a desire that, you know what, you wanna look into this more seriously. You realize that, you know what, it's worth just investigating and finding out, you know, what the truth is, why we've been created in the first place, so that you can figure out that, you know what, if there's an afterlife, if God is going to hold us accountable, if this is really a test, what can I do to prepare for that test to make sure that I pass it, you know? Mm-hmm. So people can wake up without these experiences. And what my advice to them would basically be is take life a little bit more seriously. You know, there's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of fun and games. There's going to be those friends who come. They try to grab you and say, come on, let's just go have fun. You know, you start, you attend a class. You benefit from a Friday sermon. You watch a YouTube video and you're kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to be interested in this. And then all of a sudden someone goes, forget all that. Let's just go watch a movie. And you just forget all of it. This is something that we should be careful about. We really need to reflect upon, yeah, what can we do? How can we change ourselves? And the first step in changing yourself is with knowledge. Actually learning properly, well, what is the religion of Islam? What is the ultimate meaning behind these things? What is the meaning behind these rituals? Why are we doing these things? And go beyond all that and not get caught up into all these small things over here.
What if someone says, look, you had the knowledge, you had Bukhari books on your back and you still left? What do you say?
The thing is, there was no foundation. And the key is to have a good Islamic foundation. Because what a foundation does, it basically, it contextualizes everything. I got Bukhari books in front of me, but I don't know how to interpret these statements that are in there. I don't even know exactly who Bukhari is. I don't know when he wrote this book. I don't know how we know that the Prophet, peace be upon him, actually said these things. So I just heard that, hey, this is authentic, but I don't have a deep foundation. I don't know how to interpret the Quran. If I read it, I don't understand, you know what, does this pronoun refer to us? Does it refer to something else? Who's this talking about? It talks about, you know, the Battle of Badr. It says when the incident happened at Badr. What is Badr? Badr, if you don't have a context, you don't know any of these things, right? So it's very important to have a context and to have a very wide understanding, like an overview of what Islam is. So everything you read, it kind of fits into like a puzzle and you see the entire thing in front of you. With that context, you understand Islam properly.
What if someone says we have atheists, same situation, maybe his friend got him to watch and he says, come on, all you religious people, I got my Christian friend, he said, you know, he used to drink, do drugs, rave parties, same thing, but he saw Jesus in a dream now,
right,
and he's a born again. What's the difference?
Right. The difference is that you need, you know, people say, well, I had some personal experience or something like that. That could be a true experience, it can be a false experience, but there's got to be a way, if there is a God, and if, you know, if there's a real purpose in life, there's got to be an objective way of us being able to figure out what the truth is. And my response to him would be, you look around the world, you look at your own body, you look at everything out there and you say, you know what, who created all these things? You start from the idea that there's a creator. You start from the idea that all of this didn't happen by random chance. The probability of it coming together and it happening is not very strong at all. It's you really got to have a leap of faith to believe in something like that, that all of this is just a product of chance. Once you establish belief in the Creator and that there is a God, now you need to learn about that God, learn something about Him. And that's when you go and you look at the different scriptures, look at the different religions, and look at the core of what are these religions actually teaching. And when you come to Islam, you're going to find that it has that pristine message. It has that message which basically says that there's only one God. You should worship that one God. And that God, when He created people, He didn't just leave them in darkness to just kind of figure out things on their own, have fun, maybe some of them will take it seriously. And He didn't leave it up to people to kind of wait to have some kind of spiritual experience where they're going to, you know, figure out on their own, hey, okay, this is what God wants me to do, or He's communicating directly. He sent us guidance, and the guidance is in people who received revelation. We can objectively evaluate that revelation, read the Quran, see if this makes sense. Do the teachings make sense? We can read the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We can see if he, did he have an ulterior motive? Could he have been a liar? Does he look like someone who would have made up something like this and undergo all the difficulties that he's coming with? So when we use our minds, we use our intellects, and our hearts are also, you know, open to this, we will arrive at the reality and the conclusion that, you know what, this is something that makes sense. And that's really what a lot of people say when they look at Islam. They come from other religions, other backgrounds, and they're like, none of this really made sense. When you study Islam in a proper way, within its proper context, the thing that people always say, it just makes sense.
It just makes sense.
It just makes sense.
It just makes sense. And tell us, we're out of time. In short, I've really benefited from the College of Islamic Studies.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit in short about this and how people can go ahead. This is a great place to start also now.
Yes. So I mean, the College of Islamic Studies is really, it's a program where people can attend live or they can actually take classes online. And this is designed, we have 18 or 19 different classes. It's designed to give you that foundation in Islam so that you don't get lost like I did. So that you understand what the context is, and it prioritizes what Islamic studies are. Many people, they just pick up the Quran and start reading, or they pick up a hadith book, start reading, but they don't have any context behind that. And it's very important to have a context, you know, beyond all that. So I would recommend everyone check out our website, which is collegeislam.com. You can enroll in classes, you can enroll online, anywhere you are, any place around the world. We have students in different countries around the world. I recommend that people at least try a class, and I guarantee you that you're going to benefit and you're going to see Islam in a different light.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah khair.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you as well.
Islam says love all mankind. That's why we're sharing this message, because we want the best for you and we want the best for all mankind. We'll see you next time, God willing, on the Deen Show. Continue to tune in. Peace be unto you.
Please subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.